I think we can all agree on one thing. This economic downturn.
Yeah.
It's
definitely
everyone feeling kind of squeezed, right?
Absolutely.
Belts are tightening everywhere and businesses, they're scrambling.
Yeah.
Looking for any way to cut costs.
Right.
And that impacts
everything.
You know, every industry, even the tech world.
Oh, yeah.
Especially actually B2B SaaS.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, software as a service.
Yeah.
So today we're going to do a deep dive into how SaaS companies are adapting.
Interesting.
Not just to survive.
Right.
But to actually, like, keep delivering value in this crazy new economic climate.
Yeah. That's a...
We've got some really cool research on the latest pricing and licensing trends.
Sounds good.
And I'm excited to, like, unpack it all.
Yeah, I think what's fascinating is that it's not just about, like, slashing prices. It's more nuanced than that.
Okay.
SaaS companies are getting really creative.
Okay.
Finding ways to still provide value to their customers who are facing their own challenges, too.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
So let's start with...
Okay.
How is this downturn impacting the SaaS industry?
Well, we're seeing a ripple effect across the board.
Yeah.
You know, reports are showing decreased sales, longer sales cycles. So it's taking more time to close deals.
Oh, I bet.
And, of course, budget cuts.
Yeah.
Budget cuts are hitting hard.
Yeah, I can imagine that's putting a lot of pressure on SaaS providers.
So much pressure.
The recent survey... by RevOps Co-op really showed how widespread these challenges are.
Yeah, it's forcing them to rethink their entire approach from pricing to how they structure their offerings.
Okay.
Speaking of pricing, there's a lot of innovation happening.
That's what I'm excited to hear about.
Right.
One trend that I keep hearing about is this value-based pricing.
It's a big one.
So instead of just putting a standard price tag on software, it's about... aligning the cost with the actual value a customer gets.
Exactly.
Which makes sense in theory.
Yeah.
But how are companies actually, like, determining and communicating that value?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right.
It really requires a deep understanding of the customer's needs and pain points.
Okay.
It's about demonstrating a clear return on investment.
So, like, showing how the software
directly
impacts the customer's bottom line.
That's it.
So, showing a clear ROI.
Yes.
I know McKinsey and Company.
Oh, yeah. They're the experts.
They've done a bunch of research on this.
Tons of research.
What are some of their insights?
Well, McKinsey emphasizes that value-based pricing is about moving beyond that simple transactional model.
Okay.
It's about building a partnership.
Okay, so it's like a relationship.
It is a relationship.
Between the SaaS provider and the customer.
Both invested in success.
Interesting.
They're actually seeing a shift towards more outcome-based pricing.
So the payment is tied to achieving specific results.
Measurable results.
Wow, that's a
different approach.
A really different approach.
Yeah.
Speaking of flexibility.
Yes.
There's that usage-based pricing.
Well, that's a hot topic.
That's a really interesting concept.
Yes.
Where you essentially pay for software.
Yeah.
Like you pay for electricity.
Uh-huh.
You only use what you need.
Exactly.
Can you give an example of how that's working?
A great example is Thales Cloud Protection.
Okay.
They offer a usage-based model that allows customers to scale their costs up or down.
So if you use more...
You pay more.
Less, you pay less. Makes sense.
It's appealing.
Especially right now.
Especially now.
Because it reduces those upfront costs.
Yes.
And aligns spending with actual needs.
Precisely.
So it's like choosing a variable versus a fixed rate plan.
I've got it.
But for software?
Exactly.
And then there's tiered pricing.
The classic.
Which is a familiar model for many people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those classic gold, silver, bronze packages.
Yeah.
But even within this approach, we're seeing some interesting innovations.
For sure. Companies are getting more granular with their tiers.
Okay.
Offering more customization and flexibility within each tier.
So, like
for instance, SBI Growth.
Okay.
They've found success with a tiered model.
Yeah.
That allows customers to pick and choose specific features
within each tier.
Yes, instead of being locked in to a predetermined bundle.
So it's about giving customers more control.
Exactly.
Letting them fine-tune their software package.
Customize it to their needs.
But pricing is only half the story.
Right.
We're also seeing big changes.
Huge changes.
In licensing models.
Oh, yeah. Licensing models are evolving.
Okay.
Flexibility is key here.
Okay.
Short-term contracts
mm-hmm.
and pay-as-you-go options
okay.
are becoming more common.
Yeah.
Catering to businesses right. that are hesitant
yeah.
makes sense yep. to commit to long-term agreements.
Especially right now.
In this uncertain economy.
Totally.
You know, lower risk approach.
Yeah. Didn't we see Digital Root?
Oh, yeah.
Doing this.
They did. They moved away from their traditional annual contracts and yeah. started offering monthly subscriptions.
So more flexibility.
Much more flexibility.
That makes a lot of sense.
It helped them attract new clients, too.
Oh, because people were nervous about
long-term commitments.
Yeah, that's a great example. Yeah. And then there's the rise
yes.
of modular offerings.
That's a game changer.
Which you briefly touched on.
Briefly, yeah.
So can you explain
of course.
How this modularity works?
Think of it like building with Legos.
Okay.
Instead of getting a massive software suite
yeah.
with features you may never use.
Which I feel like is...
Oh, it happens all the time.
Most software yeah. modular offerings allow you. Right.
To choose
okay.
the specific components or modules.
Like the building blocks.
Exactly. You only get what you need,
which is
more cost effective.
Especially right now.
Especially for smaller businesses.
Right.
And it allows for greater customization and scalability.
So right sizing your software solutions.
Exactly.
Which seems particularly relevant.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
When everyone's trying to be yeah. as efficient as possible.
So what does all of this mean?
That's the big question.
The future of size.
Yeah, where are we headed?
It sounds like it's not all doom and gloom.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think these adaptations are a really positive sign.
Okay.
They show that the industry is responsive to mm-hmm. customer needs
yeah.
and is willing to innovate.
That's good.
If we connect this to the bigger picture,
okay.
these trends could actually drive
yeah.
a more sustainable and value-driven approach
okay.
to software adoption.
Across the board.
Across the board.
That's a really optimistic outlook.
I'm an optimist. What can I say?
So maybe this downturn,
yeah,
while challenging,
definitely challenging,
could actually be a catalyst.
It could be.
For positive change.
Positive change.
In the B2B SaaS landscape.
Yeah, I think that's a real possibility.
That's a really...
It raises an interesting question.
What would say?
If you're involved in like
yeah.
selecting or managing software
okay.
for your business,
yeah,
how can you leverage these trends
mm.
to get the most value and
right.
flexibility
right.
from your SaaS investments?
That's something to think about.
Definitely something to ponder
yeah.
as we wrap up our deep dive.
That's all the time we have.
Thanks for having me.
This has been really interesting.
It's been a pleasure.
I've learned a lot.
I'm glad.
About how SaaS companies are adapting
you too.
To this economic downturn.
It's fascinating.
Really appreciate your insights.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time.
See you later.